Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Look at Ephesians 1 if you've got time this week, and you'll see that we've been blessed, guys, with a spiritual blessing like no other. We've been chosen, we've been adopted, we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, grace has been lavished upon us like you cannot even describe, and unconditional love, an acceptance like you can't describe. We're pure before him. We're pure because of our union with Christ, because of our unity with Christ. We are pure before him, which is just a beautiful thing. Blameless, forgiven. And when we're in Christ, guys, the aspects of our identity can never be altered by what we do. They can never, ever, ever be altered by what we do. And it's who we are in Christ that counts above what we do. Amen? If we can say to ourselves tonight, I am who I am in Christ, over and above what I do. That is the status that Christ gives us. That's the DNA of Christ within us that Herman was referring to. Is we get so caught up, friends, in this cycle, this negative cycle of the approval of others. We can find ourselves in this almost cycle of acceptance and approval addiction. We seek it so desperately from other people, by the things that we do, by the aspects of our lives, exactly, the things that we have or don't have. We get so caught in the cycle, friends. It's a dangerous place to be in, and we've got to be conscious of that. And let's guard our heart, guys, against any aspects of an acceptance addiction towards the things that we do as opposed to who we are in Christ. Rejection, my friends, let me tell you what, it's an incredibly, incredibly real thing for people until they know who they are in Christ. It's an incredibly real thing. I was looking up rejection's root word. I'm all about root words tonight. You won't hear enough of it, but it's an aspect of thrown back. Do you know that that's how some might consider their lives is and who they are? Completely thrown back, not worthy to be accepted. We weren't meant to be rejected. That's not what we were designed for. Our spirits were not even designed to be rejected. And so one of the things I really digged about what Brad shared with us this morning is our rejection becomes our acceptance in him. Our rejection is our acceptance. And it's like our mess becomes his message. That was power this morning, guys. It's so true, huh? Our spirits are disturbed by this aspect of I'm rejected. I'm not good enough. I'm not approved. Why? Because we hinge ourselves onto things that are not of Christ, and that's what Paul was reminding the church there. Our confidence rises, starts to stir up faith in others when we see who we are and not what we are to others. It's about who we are, not what we are. We are a child of God. We have Christ in us. Christ in us, Christ through us. Amen. We are Christians, and you can't take Christ out of us, guys. Please hear me. You can't take Christ out of us. Not for a moment. 16 years old till 96 years old, you cannot take Christ out of you. If you do, you're left with Ian, and an Ian can't save you. I don't know why I dropped that in there, but it's what happens when you take Christ and you're left with Ian. Ian's not here. Both Ians aren't here. But we are saints, friends. Amen? We're saints. We saints. We are. Our identity is the one thing that gets challenged the most. It's the one thing I'm telling you in my life personally, and I don't know. I'm sure I speak for you guys. Is our identity gets challenged? Because can I tell you why? This is the one thing that the Lord's shown me is in the aspects of our identity. Okay, it will always our state of understanding our identity will always determine our destiny, and what I mean by that is. The race that we are running, the journey that we're on with the Lord, if we are determining, okay, the destination at the end of it is determined by our understanding, our true understanding of what our identity is at all times. And there's this confidence that comes with it. There's this running ahead. It's like I said earlier, it's how we act. It's what we do. It's what we say. When we have this clear, defined understanding of who we are in Christ will determine and does determine our destination. Amen? And determines our destiny. Amen. Cool. I hope you believe me. When we know who we are, we know where we're going and what we're called to do. When we know who we are, we know where we're going and what we are called to do. Amen. Our destiny, our purpose, gets paused like DSTV catch-up, my friends, when we can't and have this unsettled feeling and an issue of our identity. Acceptance, know who you are, walk in it, unpause DSTV catch-up, and you run with the things that the Lord has for you and what the things that the Lord has for all of us. And friends, Jesus deals severely with this thing and promptly about our identity. I mean, if you think through the Gospels, how often he demonstrates to us our identity and our purpose. Often, so often he says, because our destiny is linked to our destiny. We need to stop determining and worrying about who we are and start defining, guys, what we're supposed to be doing. We get so caught up in our lives, we can waste time in what God has for us by trying to determine who we are. Accept who we are in Christ. And then start worrying and defining what we're supposed to be doing with that identity. Amen. What does that understanding and believed identity cause us to do? Like I said to you guys, our identity gives us the right picture of how our minds should even think. Our thoughts, we take captive every thought. Our minds are then subjected to the authority of our Lord and Master because we know that that's our identity. So our minds are in the right place. It gives our hands the purpose that it's intended for. We understand that we're here to serve others, to love others, to care for others because that's the identity that Christ has shown us and has put in us. He puts our hands to task when we understand our identity in him. It gives our eyes to see things that aren't as though they were. It puts our whole body, friends, into the right frame of mind of understanding what we are and who we are. And our whole body becomes active. Everything about us starts to become active and in motion and walking and talking and living this thing out once we have a true understanding, a deep understanding of what our identity is. Individually, our bodies are given a person, but never mind that, collectively. So we have this individual understanding, foundational grasp of who we are in him, okay? And then we have this collective movement of the body of Christ moving forward because we know who we are together. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. Amen? For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We're not a cause unto our own journey, friends. We're not a cause unto our own purpose. We are a member of many parts within the body. If the foot should say, because I have not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If he all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Jump down with me to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And so within the very core thread of our DNA, friends, at the very heart of who we are, what do we see this being? What do we see as the very heart of our DNA, the very purpose of who we are? We understand the body of Christ. We understand our part. I come as a member to the body. I understand that, and I get that perspective. But what's at the heart of Jesus? What's his heartbeat? What's at the heartbeat of the Father? What makes the Father's heartbeat? We see, friends, at the Father's heart, an apostolic heart. His commission to us is essentially to be a commissioned people with apostolic heart for the nations. That's what makes the Father's heart pump. An apostolic heart that at every beat expresses the commission, the mission that we're on together. The basic verb for apostolic is apostello, which means I send out. And so if that's at the heart of the Father, friends, if this is what's making the Father's heart pump, we start to get a deep, deep understanding of what should be our heart that should be pumping, what our heart should be pumping with. Amen? There's this message of apostello. It's like a word that should be imprinted on our hearts of, I send out. He sends us out. So we're this body, right? Very, very figuratively, we're a body, but literally we are too. And there's this heartbeat that says, I send you out. Apostello. Romans 10 verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they hear unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Right from the beginning of the gospel, it's been a going, ascending, an apostolo message from the Father. It has always been on the Father's heart to bless the nations, my friends. We see it right from the life of Abraham. He was called to go and be a blessing to the nations, which obviously would have had an impact on all future generations. The Abrahamic covenant of Jesus, we see in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 4, is called the gospel in advance. That's how Paul references it in Galatians, is the gospel in advance. There's this movement. This is so much beyond ourselves and so much far beyond ourselves than we can ever imagine. The Lord had said to Abraham, now leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and now go to the land I will show you. This is the Father right from the very beginning of the word. Go there and I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I'll make your name great and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Jesus' awareness of the fact that he had been sent is so vividly portrayed to us. Guys, all the way through the Gospels, we see this. John 10, he is he whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world. John chapter 5, the Father has sent me. All the way through, we see Jesus reiterating this positioning of what I've been sent for and who I've been sent by. He had full security in his identity. Amen. I've not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and he sent me. Done. It's settled. It's not an uncertainty, but he's now on this mission. He's on this entire commission journey that his Father had sent him. This witness formed the very message of what the apostles share. You see, in 1 John chapter 4, it says there, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Also in John 1 John chapter 4, God is love, and this is the love of God. The love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. He loved us and sent us his Son to be the expiation of our sins. In Hebrews, Jesus is also called an apostle. Did we know that? Have you seen that before in Hebrews? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Consider Jesus, consider him this, see him as this, is basically what is being said here. The apostle and high priest of our confession. Two things. The apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus the apostle. Doesn't sound right. Eh? I mean, I don't have theological background. I haven't been to seminary schools, etc., etc. But just hearing that, it doesn't sound right just off the cuff, because we're so used to hearing Paul, you know, being referred to as the apostle or James the apostle, right? But to hear Jesus, it's somewhat of a different definition in his role. I mean, Jesus is everything. Let's put that out there. So I'm not saying that Jesus can be boxed and should be boxed or can only be listed in certain ways, but it stands out as, sure, that's interesting. Why? Why was he referred to as that? You look at the word again, it's a root word, and in itself means one sent as a messenger. And so when applied to the 12 apostles, it means that they were chosen by Jesus and sent into the world in his name, bearing his message, bearing the message of Jesus. And so when applied to Jesus, it means that he was sent from the Father. Amen. To be the Savior of the world. And we can see this clearly in John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. Amen. I love what this one theologian, Charles Spear, wrote on Jesus as the apostle. I love this definition of this. And this is what he said about this word apostle and how it implies Jesus as that. Is number one, you must be sent by someone else. That is what apostle means. Okay. Number two, you must be sent on a particular message. Mission. And number three, you must be sent with sufficient power to accomplish the mission. Just quickly, you must be sent by someone. You must be sent on a particular mission. And number three, you must be sent with sufficient power to accomplish the mission. And so we see how perfectly Christ fits this description. Why? He was sent by the Father. Amen. Number two, he was sent to be the Savior of the world. Specific reason, particular mission. And number three, he was sent with all the prerogatives of deity clothed in a human flesh. Amen? Yeah. That answers that and settles. So, Jesus the Apostle, it's an incredible title that we give Jesus and that we see Jesus as in and through our lives as the identity, understanding the Father's heart pumping in an apostolic way. Matthew 28, verse 17. When they see him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, friends, is the apostle and the high priest. Jesus is the apostle because he was sent by the Father to be his spokesperson, to be the revealer of the things of the kingdom, to be the revealer of the things of the Spirit. Also, Brad reminded us of this morning, of Jesus being our high priest. He represents God before man and man before a holy God. And so as an apostle, he is close to me, okay? As a priest, he is close to God. Amen? Different role. But distinctive, guys, distinctive in how we see him, and if we see him in that role, we understand who we are. Amen. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. So if we look at our DNA and if we look at the core of our makeup, if we are new creations in Christ, according to our belief in who he is, God starts to transform our hearts into his own heart. Amen. We see right at the heart of the Father, my friends, who we are. And by what his heart is pumping with, we too should have an apostolic heart in everything that we do. And apostolic means I've been sent. Jesus is still looking for disciples, friends, that will take this gospel into the harvest fields. Jesus will never ask us to do something. Please hear me. Jesus will never ask us to do something that he hasn't demonstrated to us himself. He was the apostle. He was the apostle. He had an apostolic heart in his ministry. Amen? In life, so then, so should we be that in our lives. Amen. Unfortunately, we have a problem in that in the world today, churches all over have been quite ineffective, if I can say it like that, ineffective in going out and reaching the lost. There's this misunderstanding that we have to draw people to a building and use all types of tactics and gimmicks that you can think of. I'm a marketing guy. Trust me, we can bling this place out that it would probably be one of the most commercialized thing and entity known in this region. But that's where people miss it. That's not what we're drawing people to. We're not drawing people to the gimmick of what Jesus is in our lives. Amen. We know the way. He is the way. We draw them to him. He's the way. A New Testament way, an apostolic definition of this, my friends, is a totally, totally different way of seeing things than the way that the world sees them. Do not conform your mind to the ways of the world. And that applies to how we, as a people, understanding, have a full understanding of who we are in Christ, move out and go out and reach the lost and those that don't believe. Right from the beginning, the DNA of who we are sits within the calling to actively, this is the key thing, actively, not be head knowledge of it, not be aware of it, actively participate in the work of announcing out the salvation that is found in Jesus. That's our role. That's what we're on mission for. Early in his ministry, Jesus sent out those whom he had called to himself. And we know he appointed 12 to be with him. And to be sent out to do what, guys? To preach and have authority to cast out demons. And Christ himself gave them the name of apostle. That's what he did. He gave that to his disciples. He called his disciples and chose from the 12. We see that in Luke 6:13, whom he named apostles. Jesus did not find a static community or a lack of a little place to hang out in the hillside and withdraw away from this world and say, okay, this is too much for me, and we're just going to build a little thing here unto ourselves. Nor did he detach himself. Nor did he attach himself to any particular place. He traveled from city to city. He was demonstrating this thing, friends, to the disciples and to the apostles that he named. Town to town, always on the move, always on the mission. He sent out his disciples, still very imperfect. I don't know if you've read about the apostles. Certainly not the most perfect guys or the most perfect disciples. Imperfect beings with weaknesses and shortcomings. Okay, some of them couldn't even read. Okay, who were at once his disciples and became his apostles. Amen. The community established around him was always on mission, sending out as though it was almost something that was in him at a deep, deep level to understand there's a force that comes when we're on mission together. The force of this apostolic community had a central place of focus in Jesus' ministry at every point. At every point, central focus, apostolic, mission, sending out, go. And making an outward teaching from himself from that and using himself so that he could teach others. Dudley Daniels, who handed over the leading of NCMI to his son, Tyron Daniels. Dudley puts this modern day perspective of what the apostolic heart of God looks like in these three key ways, which I want to run through with you quickly. This is how he describes the heritage to who we are and a core of our DNA. Listen to this. At the heart of an apostolic people is a passion to be a church that is determined, I love that word, is determined to fulfill the commission given by Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Number one, determined. We do this by planting New Testament churches, training and releasing large capacity leaders, and bringing the whole priesthood to a place of liberty and effectiveness. That's this aspect of the apostolic heart that he sees. And secondly, an apostolic heart finds its expression through a church that embraces the prophetic purpose of God in every age. A people that has the ability to see the future as God sees it and prepares to become the future. This is great, guys. Number three, lastly, an apostolic people has a God-inspired zeal. Yo! A God-inspired zeal. That is not just, he could have said, an apostolic people have a desire to go out. No, listen. A God-inspired zeal. This is something different, friends, that burns within us. A fire, a flame, something that just like, we can't get rid of it. You know that jolted feeling in your stomach where you're like, oh, I've got to go. A God-inspired zeal to go and not to gather, to send and not to stay. This is a people who will give everything without compromise. We give our all to be what God calls them to be and to do what God calls them to do. Friends, when we understand our divine nature, our identity, we start to act differently. We start to act very, very differently. We act differently. Why? Because at the very core within our hearts, there's this pumping desire to see apostolic in everything that we do. Amen. So the question is, how? That's always the question, is how? What's the implementation? Okay, there's a distinct difference of catching something in our hearts. There's this thing of understanding our purpose, getting the thing of what God's called us to, but then how? How do we embrace and activate our apostolic DNA of who we are? We understand that there's an individual as well as a collective. So how do we understand that? How do we start to put that picture together? Well, I'll tell you, the first thing I feel that is pertinent is that we pray. We pray. You look at the apostles, they prayed. They prayed. Pray without ceasing. Pray. We pray about it. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to thrust forward, I don't know, laborers. You know, that's what we do. We pray about it. Luke 10, verse 2 and 3. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into these harvests. Go, I am sending you. Friends, we've got to pray about this thing. Second thing that I feel is to start giving. Start giving. Give today. Give of your time. We give of our talent. We give of our gifts. We give of our treasures that are dear to us. We give our families to this thing. We don't stop. We don't stop giving. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it shall be given to you. Amen? You will be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. These are the promises that come in this giving. Start going is the third thing. Start going. Actually equipping ourselves to be witnesses. There's this aspect of going. There's this aspect of getting out there and doing it. Equip yourself. Equip yourself for the particular area that you feel you're called to. I don't know, linguistically, culturally. I don't know. Don't overthink it because you can just go. I mean, there wasn't much preparation that Jesus gave the disciples into apostleship. It certainly wasn't a 30-year seminary course about how to speak Latin. It was region, go, Asia, now, you. Okay, done there, planted, 10. How are they doing? They're okay, couple of issues. Go, next one. No real training, but hey, start to stir something within your souls. Start to say, hey, Lord, what am I equipped? What is the purpose of a particular thing that you've equipped me for in the nations, in the going, in the beyond the local, in beyond the translocal? So I brought along my passport tonight. And like, guys, it's a very practical thing, but I don't want to be funny. You've got to have a passport to go. Huh? Got to have one. This is our identity. This is who we are. This is when we cross the borders, it becomes, okay, Lord, I'm going. You take this thing of an apostolic heart to heart, jokes aside, and you say, Lord, okay, here I am. I'm ready. Cool. Well, how much does the visa cost? What am I being called to? Sure. Where do I get my page stamped? How do I get it stamped? Oh, wow. Where do you apply for this visa and that visa? What regions are on your heart, Lord? What is my local church doing? I start praying over my passport. I hold my passport in my hand and I say, Lord, send me. Take this, Lord. Take this passport and start to apply me into it. What do you want in my life? Where do you want this passport to go? Lord, it's not a thing of I get to go on a one-year vacation with my family for 2 weeks. No. It's what? It's called a sacrifice. That's what it is. It's not a two-week holiday. Guys, in the nation of Rwanda, ain't no holiday. I can promise you that. It's going out. It's laboring for Christ. It's encouraging. It's equipping. It's building up. It's stirring up faith in other people. It's a sacrifice. When we pull this out and we lay it on our bedsides every single night, Lord, send me, Lord, send me, Lord, send me. Where's the brokenhearted? Where are the poor, Lord? And obviously, guys, there's this full context of understanding that there's this in our local community. We understand that. And hence the community church, and hence the aspect of our initiatives and our outreaches and our love for one another through home to home to home. But guys, when God's called us, He's called us by crossing the border to other nations. That's what we see in the demonstration of what Christ has given us. Amen. Tell them, make yourself available. That's another thing, guys, that I've learned in my journey here at the Crossing Church is if you don't make yourself available, practically speaking, let's be very practical with one another, it's not possible for you to go. So how do you make yourself available is you don't go on leave yourself personally. You just, it's the sacrifice of it. So you've got to make yourself available to go. You can't go if you're not able to go, time-wise. So you've got to just practically make yourself. And firstly, and secondly, is submit it to the eldership under the local authority of the church. This is where I'm feeling. This is what I'm doing. This is what God's stirring in my heart. Tell us. Tell us what sense you have on your heart. Tell us where you feel God's calling you to. There's an incredible blessing that comes with that submission, that this is what I've got in my heart. I'm feeling Tanzania. Okay? You might not get a nod from eldership straight away, but we're willing to trust with you, my friends. Tanzania, just double checking. You didn't say Zambia, you said Tanzania, right? Tasmania. No. That's what I wanted to say. Tasmania. No, I don't trust the front row. Tasmania, where's that off? The island off? Australia, that's the one I was going for. Commission. The commission is, this is key, guys. Commission is what? It's a co-mission. You get that, right? Pulling a Bradger. It's co-mission. It's not uno mission, right? Got it. Co-mission. Yeah, it's a commission, guys, that we do together. The apostles went out two by two. There's this thing of vulnerability by yourself. There's this thing of we are not lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We are not building up a platform for our ministries. Friends, we are planted into the aspects of a local church. Where are they going? What are we doing collectively together? Amen? People will only come to Jesus, okay, Matthew 11 verse 28, if we will go into all the world. Make a decision and mean it. There's this aspect of making a decision. Don't let there be a sudden thing, an uncertain decision in your heart. Be certain about it. If there's a date in your mind, 2019, cool, let it be 2019, but put a date to it. So distracting. There's power, guys, that comes in making a decision or a choice. There's an incredible power that comes with that. The children of Israel were called to make a decision before entering the promised land. There's a decision. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Deuteronomy 30. Joshua also gave the Israelites a choice as to whom they would serve. Make the decision. What are we called for? What are we on mission for? And then lastly, one of my points is, look up to God for help. Look up to God for help. It's not easy. It's not easy laying down your treasures, talents, and time. I'm telling you it's not. I own my own business, and an aspect of fear creeps into your heart. You're like, Lord, I can't go. The key accounts rely on me personally to deliver what I need to. Look to God for help. I love Philippians 2, verse 12. For it is God who works in you to For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. This isn't for our good purposes. The minute that we say, okay, it's our thing that we're on, and it's the mission that we're on, and it's the purpose that we're on, we start to lose the point. It's his mission, and we look to him for the help. And then very lastly, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 4. Wait for the gift my Father promised. Wait for that. Wait for that. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Amen? Remember, it's by the power of the Spirit that we are empowered to fulfill this great mission. It's not by our might. It's not by our strength. It's not by the things that we can rally each other up here tonight and we can get you all booked into a Zambian trip or a Rwanda trip, Great Lakes trip. But if it's not by the Spirit, guys, the Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us collectively together under the authority of the local church. That's how he does it. When we are saved, Jesus comes into our lives and fills us with his Spirit so that we can make these decisions, that we can hear him, that we can see where he wants us. And Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Guys, don't go out. When we wanting to carry this apostolic heart, don't go out with our flesh. Please don't. I'm encouraging you. I've personally burnt myself. I've burnt. I failed. Yeah. It's like come back unfulfilled. Why? Because I went in the flesh. And Paul says that. He says, so then, those who are in the flesh, you can't please God with that, friends. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, we don't need to be convinced of that. But indeed he is. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. I hope by his Spirit, friends, that we are able to see at the very heart of what our DNA is, and the very heart of our character, the very heart of who we are in Christ, is that there is this apostolic pumping heart for the things that God sent Christ for and the thing that he's set about for us. I really hope that I've been able to emphasize that this evening. This is our very mission, my friends. It's our mission. It's what we. It's at the very heart of what we after. It's actually in our DNA, not only individually, but as a local church. Friends, we cannot evade. You cannot ignore. If you're planted in this local church, you cannot ignore this aspect of apostolic. It's part of who we are. It's in the bricks, the walls, the lights. Everything that we are about is this apostolic pumping heart of going to the nations. Amen? When we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, the apostle, I love what Brad was encouraging me in the car this afternoon. He says, apostle with capital A. And then we, apostolically, lowercase A, right? We continue apostolically proclaiming the gospel to community after community, after nation, after every neighborhood until the end of the world. Amen. Because we know who we are. And we can take up this corresponding aspect and the share together of what our apostolic calling is. Amen? And how should we do it? We should do it with compassion. We should do it with insight. We should do it with a deliberate intention. It's not willy-nilly here. It's not, I think I'm going to go to Zambia. Yeah, it sounds cool. I don't know. The elders were announcing something. There's an intentionality about us going. Who goes? When they go? How they go? How's your heart when you're going? Have you settled this thing of identity? Have you settled this aspect of where you are in it and this journey? And we go, guys, in defining and living out this apostolic calling with great passion. Huh? Guys, we don't go out there to be encouraged. We go to encourage. Amen? This is where we get encouraged. This is where we get built up. And then we go and encourage and build up others. When we go to the nations, we go to the poor, we can have apostolic hearts in our homes, friends. We can take apostolic to our workplaces. We can take apostolic in every moment that the Spirit is able to lead us through things. Amen? Good. Once we've recognized our apostolic identity, we remain focused in that it is Jesus that we want them to come to. Those that are thirsty, come to Him. We don't lead guys to ourselves. We don't bring people to ourselves. Come back and see what I'm about, this, that. It's about Jesus. He is the focus. Jesus is the focus of our apostolic heart, which causes us to have an identity because of who He is, not who we are. And the only salvation for them is Christ, not ourselves. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, just to close, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are labored and heavy burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen.